Before Sean Paul, before Beanie Man, before Vibes Cartel, there was one voice that thundered from the heart of Seaview Gardens and shook the global stage. He was rough. He was raw. He was royalty. From Zinc Roof beginnings to Grammy Gold, Shabba Ranks didn't just perform dancehall, he conquered it. But the louder his voice grew, the more the world demanded he silence parts of himself. This is the true story of the emperor of hardcore dancehall, the rise, the rebellion, and the cost of greatness. If you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. The sun rose differently over Seaview Gardens. Not softer, not warmer, but harsher, casting long shadows over zinc fences, cracked sidewalks, and children with nothing but rhythm in their bones. This wasn't the kind of place you were expected to escape. You either became hard, or you disappeared. In the heart of Kingston's government yards, a young boy named Rexton Ralston Fernando Gordon was growing up fast. Too fast. Raised in a single-parent household alongside several siblings, survival was the daily curriculum. The streets were loud, not just with traffic or shouting, but with sound systems. Big, towering stacks of speakers blasting dubplates and rhythms deep into the night. Music wasn't entertainment here. It was oxygen. It was protection. It was power. Every weekend, Seaview transformed. The aroma of jerk chicken and ganja smoke filled the air. Young warriors with mics lined up like gladiators at sound clashes. Lyrical battles judged by crowd reaction, not radio spins. For young Rexton, this wasn't just culture, this was calling. But even then, few could have predicted the fire building inside that youth. His voice was hoarse, raw, and untrained, but it had weight. A gravel-thick tone that cut through the noise like a machete through cane. He wasn't yet Shabba, but the streets started noticing. He mimicked General Echo, Yellow Man, Brigadier Jerry, then quickly moved beyond mimicry. His own style began to form, aggressive, commanding, deeply masculine. His delivery wasn't about melody, it was declaration. Each line, a statement of dominance. The 1980s in Jamaica were politically volatile and economically desperate. Gang warfare backed by political factions made the ghettos war zones. But in the midst of this chaos, the sound system culture gave birth to artists who would change the world. Rexton Gordon was part of this firestorm, shaping himself with every clash, every street session, every mic passed around under a broken lamppost. He took the name Shabba Ranks, inspired by military authority and street respect. Ranks wasn't just a name, it was a title, a reminder that he wasn't just in the game. He was above it. By the mid-1980s, Shabba aligned himself with the Roots melody sound system, then Kilimanjaro, where his lyrical confidence exploded. He clashed with future icons, held his ground, and started amassing a following. The energy he brought was unmatched, raw sexuality, street toughness, and commanding bravado. His rhymes weren't pretty, they were potent. And in a country that worshipped wordplay, that was everything. Still, it wasn't just talent that got him noticed, it was vision. Shabba wasn't trying to be the next anyone. He wanted to be the first of something new. He dressed differently, walked differently, and when he spoke in interviews, he didn't just talk about music, he talked about ruling. You could feel it in his tone, even when he was a nobody by industry standards. Then came a fateful encounter. Producer Bobby, Digital B. Dixon, one of the most innovative beatmakers of the digital dancehall era, heard Shabba's voice and instantly knew it was money in raw form. Digital B's rhythms were clean, mechanical, and futuristic. Paired with Shabba's voice, they created an entirely new flavor, sharp, industrial, and addictive. Together, they built a sound that would soon dominate the island, and eventually the globe. But in Chapter 1, we are still at the beginning. Before the Grammys, before MTV, before the headlines and heat, there was a zinc-roofed home in Seaview Gardens, a boy with no backup plan, and a voice that could not be silenced. This wasn't the rise of just another DJ. This was the formation of an emperor. By the late 1980s, the pulse of Jamaican music was changing. The analog warmth of roots reggae was giving way to a sharper, colder rhythm, digital dancehall. And at the forefront of this seismic shift stood one man, Bobby Digital B. Dixon, a sonic alchemist who would take the raw, ragged voice of Shabba Ranks and shape it into the weapon of a new era. The studio was no longer just a room with a reel-to-reel and a mic. It had become a laboratory of coded rebellion. With drum machines and computer-programmed rhythms, producers could now craft entire ecosystems of sound with clinical precision. And Shabba, whose vocal grit seemed made for this metallic world, became the perfect voice to carry the digital revolution forward. Their first sessions were electrifying. Digital Be Laid Down is now iconic slang tongue-inspired rhythms. Hard, minimal, relentless. Shabba didn't rap over them, he attacked them. Where others flowed, he charged. His gravel-toned voice ripped through the speakers like a storm made of steel and swagger. In tracks like Wicked in a Bed, Dem Bow, and Condon, he turned sexuality and street smarts into lyrical performance art. Each line was part sermon, part seduction, part street fight. What Bobby Digital and Shabba created was bigger than just hits. They were building the new identity of Jamaican masculinity. Gone were the smooth crooners of the past. In their place stood a chest-pounding, patois-spitting lion whose persona combined command, charisma, and confrontation. Soon after, the powerhouse production outfit Penthouse Records, led by Donovan Germain, took interest. Germain gave Shabba a wider canvas to paint on, and a new collaborator, the veteran producer Gussie Clark. Clark, whose roots ran deep in reggae history, offered more refined rhythms, more melodic, more structured, but still dancehall at the core. Here, Shabba had to adapt, and he did, seamlessly. With Clark, Shabba released tracks like House Call featuring Maxi Priest, a game changer. The pairing of a rough dancehall DJ with a smooth, crossover vocalist created radio gold. The track hit big in both Jamaica and the UK, signaling that Shabba wasn't just a local don, he was becoming a global ambassador. Then came Mr. Loverman. Originally recorded years earlier as a lesser-known track, it was reimagined, polished, and unleashed to the world. With its unmistakable opening, Shabba, and a sultry vocal assist from Deborah Glasgow, later Chevelle Franklin, the track broke barriers. In America, it was a revelation. In Jamaica, it was a coronation. But at the core of it all was rhythm. The rhythm was religion. Shabba understood this better than most. He didn't just ride a beat, he owned it. His timing, breath control, and phrasing turned digital backdrops into ritualistic declarations of identity. His cadence wasn't American, though it reached America. It wasn't British, though it conquered the UK. It was pure Jamaican warrior chant, fused with futuristic fire. The 1990s had arrived, and Shabba Ranks had already built the bridge between ghetto zinc and global stage. The beats were now tighter, the stakes higher, and the world, listening. In dancehall, dominance isn't given. It's earned line by line, clash by clash, hit by hit. And Shabba, still only in his early 20s, was already commanding airwaves and alleyways alike. But with rising fame comes heavier pressure. By the time Mr. Loverman echoed across US airwaves in 1992, Shabba Ranks had already cemented his dominance in Jamaica. But what happened next was something no dancehall artist had ever done before. He broke into the mainstream of the Western world without compromising the core of who he was. Mr. Loverman wasn't just a hit, it was a global phenomenon. A slow whine of digital seduction, anchored by Shabba's unmistakable vocal gravel and swagger. The song climbed charts across the US, UK, and Europe, receiving heavy rotation on MTV, BET, and urban radio stations that had never before embraced patwa-heavy lyrics with such intensity. It became a crossover anthem, turning Shabba from a Jamaican legend into a worldwide cultural force. But his rise wasn't accidental. Shabba Ranks knew how to market masculinity. His look, gold chains, unbuttoned silk shirts, dark sunglasses, was deliberate. His voice, layered with grit and pride, made no apologies. He was the embodiment of a Caribbean alpha, commanding stages with unfiltered confidence. In a world hungry for new sounds and authentic voices, Shabba was both. His Grammy win in 1992 for Best Reggae Album was as raw as ever marked a momentous shift. Shabba became the first dancehall artist to win a Grammy, breaking a glass ceiling that had previously reserved such honors for roots reggae veterans like Jimmy Cliff or Peter Tosh. The message was clear. Hardcore dancehall had arrived, and Shabba was its crown bearer. Then came the follow-up, Extra Naked, released in 1992. Another Grammy. Another victory. Shabba was on a streak no other DJ had achieved. He toured the world, performed at Madison Square Garden, collaborated with international artists like Johnny Gill, Queen Latifah, KRS-One, and Chubb Rock, pushing dancehall deeper into the consciousness of Black America and beyond. But Shabba's dominance came with tension. The wider he stretched globally, the more people began to question and critique the content and culture he represented. Shaba was unapologetically Jamaican in delivery, expression, and ideology. He often referenced heterosexual dominance, biblical judgment, and social righteousness, beliefs widely accepted in Jamaican culture but seen as controversial and inflammatory abroad, particularly in Western LGBTQ+ discourse. In 1992, during an appearance on Channel 4's The Word in the UK, Shaba made comments that would ignite a firestorm. When pressed on lyrics deemed homophobic, he doubled down, quoting scripture and defending his position. The backlash was immediate. UK shows were cancelled. Media began branding him as a symbol of hate speech rather than cultural resistance. Shaba's image, once cool and charismatic, was now marked by controversy in the very markets that had made him an icon. MTV, once a key vehicle of his success, quietly pulled back. Corporate sponsors grew uneasy. Shaba, once the bridge between the streets of Kingston and the clubs of New York, was now navigating a new kind of battlefield, one shaped not by sound clashes, but by politics, perception, and global expectations. Yet, despite the fire, he stood firm. To Shaba, the cultural distance between Jamaica and the West wasn't something to be smoothed over. It was a line he refused to blur. He wasn't there to assimilate. He was there to dominate. Even at the height of backlash, he continued recording. He maintained a stronghold in Jamaica, the Caribbean diaspora, and hardcore dancehall fans who saw him as a truth-teller, not a villain. But the world had changed. And Shaba, whether he liked it or not, was no longer a local warrior. He was a global target. The same media that once crowned him king was now questioning the legitimacy of his reign. What happens when you become too powerful for your platform and too polarizing for the mainstream? At the height of his fame, Shaba Ranks wasn't just performing, he was provoking. Not intentionally, perhaps, but inevitably. To understand the firestorm that followed his global rise, you must understand the moment. The early 1990s were a period of dramatic social transition in the West. The AIDS epidemic had politicized sexuality. LGBTQ+ rights were becoming mainstream issues. And pop culture, particularly hip-hop and reggae, was being interrogated not just for entertainment, but for ideology. Into this charged space strode Shaba Ranks. Black, bold, brash, a Jamaican lion whose lyrics didn't whisper, but roared about sexuality, gender, power, and morality, through the lens of ghetto truth and biblical code. What Shaba represented to the streets of Kingston was authenticity. What he represented to media watchdogs in London and New York was something more complicated. A global star carrying with him a message that clashed with Western liberal values. And then the dam broke. During his infamous 1992 appearance on Channel 4's The Word in the UK, Shaba was asked directly about homophobic content in dancehall lyrics. His response, a confident, unwavering reference to the Bible, man shall not lie with man. No filter, no softening, just scripture and defiance. The backlash was nuclear. LGBTQ+ advocacy groups called for bans. Newspapers ran headlines branding Shaba a bigot. Concerts were canceled. Record stores pulled his albums. MTV, once his platform to the world, distanced itself. His North American and UK appearances dwindled overnight. It wasn't just public opinion that shifted. It was the industry. Labels grew nervous. PR firms stopped taking his calls. Brand deals evaporated. In an era before cancel culture had a name, Shaba was experiencing its full force. Isolated not for personal behavior, but for unapologetically standing by his cultural convictions. Convictions shaped by the Jamaican dancehall space he came from, a space that saw the Bible and masculinity not as politics, but as survival codes. But what made the situation more complex was that Shaba Ranks wasn't a political figure. He wasn't trying to shape public policy. He was an artist, a performer shaped by the streets, by poverty, by dancehall's unfiltered truth-telling. To him, art wasn't sanitized. It was raw reflection. His defenders, both in Jamaica and the diaspora, argued that the backlash exposed a deeper issue. The cultural imperialism of the West, where global platforms wanted Caribbean talent, but only on their terms. They wanted the beat, not the beliefs. Still, the pressure mounted. Facing economic fallout and reduced bookings, Shaba eventually issued a public apology, clarifying that he meant no harm and respected all people. But for many, the damage had been done. His apology satisfied some, enraged others, and confused even more. The firestorm had redefined him. No longer just the Grammy-winning Mr. Loverman, he was now a cautionary tale. The first dancehall superstar to discover that global visibility came with unforgiving visibility. The very system that lifted him had no room for cultural contradiction. It wanted Jamaican rhythm, but not Jamaican realism. Back in Jamaica, Shabba remained revered. Among many, his stance only solidified his authenticity. He didn't fold. He didn't morph into a media puppet. He held the line, even when the world moved it. But professionally, the consequences were lasting. Radio play declined. Collaborations dried up. His third Grammy-nominated album, Ami Shabba, didn't reach the commercial heights of his previous two. Despite quality production and confident delivery, it couldn't outshine the shadow that now followed him. Yet in this chapter of exile, something deeper was taking shape, something that fame could never erase. Legacy. When the spotlight dimmed on Shabba ranks in the global mainstream, it didn't extinguish his fire. It only changed where the light shone. He returned to Jamaica. Not broken, not bitter, but unchanged. In the hills and ghettos, the streets and studios of Kingston, Shabba's name still carried royal weight. If anything, his retreat from the global stage only deepened his status at home. He became less of a pop star and more of a mythical figure. The warrior who entered Babylon spoke his truth and returned with scars. While the West debated his legacy, a new generation of artists were already studying his every move. His delivery, his phrasing, his breath control, his commanding presence. Young DJs didn't just want to sound like Shabba, they wanted to be Shabba. He had carved out a blueprint for hardcore dancehall dominance, one that could not be denied. Bounty Killer rose in the mid-1990s as a lyrical warlord, echoing Shabba's militant tone and street-rooted perspective. Buju Banton, once a Shabba lookalike in the early part of his career, delivered bars with similar grit before pivoting to more conscious material. Vybz Kartel, years later, would become a master manipulator of slang, image, and narrative, all innovations born of Shabba's reign. But influence went far beyond the island. Shabba's fingerprints stretched into hip-hop. His collaborations with KRS-One, Queen Latifah, and Chubb Rock helped crack open the space for Jamaican vocalists in American rap radio. His rhythmic cadences laid the groundwork for the dembow rhythm, which would become the DNA of reggaeton. Without Shabba, there is no Daddy Yankee, no Don Omar, no Bad Bunny. Even global pop stars from Beyoncé to Rihanna to Drake, all of whom have flirted with patois and dancehall flows, are borrowing from a style that Shabba planted and popularized. Though corporate doors closed on him, his voice still blared from every sound system in Spanish Town, every stage show in Clarendon, every dance in Brooklyn's Flatbush and London's Brixton. He was never gone, just gone from places that never fully understood him to begin with. In truth, Shabba Ranks had done something almost no other artist of his generation achieved. He built a platform without compromise, took the sound of the Jamaican ghetto to the highest global stage, and then walked away without ever bending to commercial pressure. And yet, he never stopped recording. Even without major label backing, Shabba continued to release music, rawer, less filtered, still armed with the same iron-throated declarations. He occasionally emerged for legacy appearances, gracing festival stages with younger artists who bowed in respect before him. And always, when the beat dropped and that opening call rang out, Shabba, the crowd roared in recognition. No matter how much time passed, his name still meant something. Perhaps exile was never exile at all. Perhaps it was elevation. Removed from the noise, free from the politics, Shabba stood as something rarer than a celebrity. He had become a symbol of resistance, of rawness, of unrepentant Caribbean truth. But his story wasn't over yet. There's something sacred about the voice that once led the world, now silent by choice. Shabba Ranks never gave a farewell speech. No final tour. No last album blitz. No tabloid-fueled meltdown. He simply stepped back, like a king who'd conquered his kingdom, then vanished into the hills. But in the quiet that followed, the sound he helped shape kept growing. Hardcore dancehall didn't die. It evolved, and everywhere you looked, you could see traces of the emperor. In today's landscape, where burning spears fire meets trap snares, and Gen Z stars mix patois with autotune, Shabba's influence is undeniable. His style, raw, rhythmic, fearless, became the foundation of a global sound system culture. You hear it in the chanted hooks of American rappers, in the aggression of UK grime, in the swagger of reggaeton's global expansion. But more than that, you hear him in the attitude, that refusal to water down truth for mass appeal. Shabba Ranks was the first Jamaican artist to prove that authenticity can be louder than polish, that ghetto truth can pierce through any frequency. That success doesn't require compromise, just conviction. As the years passed, the dancehall world began to treat Shabba as something more than a legend. They treated him like a guardian spirit. His name echoed in tributes. His image appeared in murals. And when young DJs gripped the mic and roared into it, they did so in a cadence built on his breath. In rare interviews and public appearances, Shabba appeared measured, wise, still carrying the weight of his decisions, but never regret. He didn't fight for redemption because he didn't feel fallen. To him, legacy wasn't about popularity. It was about principle. And Jamaica? Jamaica never forgot. To this day, his records spin at street parties, his verses recited like scripture. There is no dancehall stage where his name doesn't command reverence. You can see it in the artists who still greet him with a bowed head. You can feel it in the crowd's response when the echo hits. Shabba, in the modern world of cancel culture, instant fame, and disposable artists, Shabba Ranks stands as something rare and powerful. A man who built an empire with his voice, defended it with his values, and chose legacy over comfort. The unwritten verse of Shabba Ranks may never be recorded, but its rhythm lives in every youth who dares to speak raw truth into a microphone. There are artists, and then there are architects. When the echoes of a man's voice continue to shape the sound, style, and spirit of generations long after his exit from the spotlight, you begin to understand. Shabba Ranks was never just an entertainer. He was a cultural architect, one who built something so foundational, the genre still rests on his blueprint. To understand why Shabba still matters, you must strip away the glitz, the Grammys, the scandals, the headlines, strip away even the music. What remains is an attitude, a defiant, unpolished, unflinching declaration that ghetto voices matter, that the raw sound of Seaview Gardens could rise to sit beside platinum pop in the world's greatest arenas. It wasn't just that Shabba crossed over, it was how he crossed over. He did it without softening his patois, without diluting his message, without dressing up his masculinity for corporate comfort. In a global industry that often asks Caribbean artists to assimilate, Shabba demanded the world adjust to him. And it did. For a while it did. Long before today's conversations around cultural appropriation and Caribbean influence in global music, Shabba was already exporting not just rhythm, but identity. He made space for future artists to be fully Caribbean, loud, sexual, spiritual, political, without apology. His sound is now sampled, mimicked, paid homage to across continents. His signature shout, Shabba, has become one of the most instantly recognizable tags in music, even to those who weren't born when his reign began. In hip-hop, his cadence is still studied. In reggaeton, his rhythm is religion. In dancehall, his DNA is everywhere. But it's deeper than sound. Shabba Ranks helped define a moment when Caribbean masculinity was being reasserted in the face of erasure. He didn't just DJ, he stood firm in his beliefs, firm in his style, firm in his mission to carry the unfiltered language of the street into history. Today, in a world hungry for authenticity, his story rings louder than ever. Because Shabba reminds us that being misunderstood does not mean being wrong, that being controversial does not erase contribution, that legacy, when forged in truth, will echo long after the mic is dropped. So when we speak of dancehall royalty, when we trace the lines between Jamaica and the world, when we celebrate the genre's unapologetic soul, we're standing in the empire that Shabba built. He may never have worn a literal crown, but make no mistake, in the kingdom of hardcore dancehall, Shabba Ranks is and always will be emperor.